The Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Featuring head coach Marcus Coleman, hosted by Justin Spears. Only on ESPN Tucson 1490 and 104.9 FM.
What's going on? Welcome to the latest edition of the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. I'm your host, Justin Spears from the Arizona Daily Star. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin E Sports. You can also follow ESPN Tucson at ESPN Tucson. Check out ESPN Tucson on Facebook. And for podcasts of this show, go to ESPNTucson.com. Here with the man of the hour, Tucson Sugar Skulls head coach Marcus Coleman. Tucson is advancing to the IFL playoffs. Coach, for an expansion team, year one of this whole thing, to make playoffs, what does it say about not only your players, but just the overall franchise?
Well, it says a lot. One, I guess from a team standpoint, it lets us know we're kind of going in the right direction, you know, more or less, trying to get this thing going from the ground up. But it means a lot for an organization, you know, just to have an expansion team. It's the first year. Again, you're building it from ground up. And trying to do, you know, everything you can to put a good product out there on the field. And I think for the most part, we've done it. I mean, we've had an up and down year, but the city has stayed behind us. And, you know, we've continued to, you know, stay the course. And you kind of trust the process, even though I know that's cliche, but you do have to trust the process, you know, in what we're doing. And, you know, we're here now, so we're in the dance.
You say cliches, trust the process, or even another one to recite the late Nipsey Hussle. The marathon continues. Everything is a marathon.
Yep.
Is that something that maybe you had to teach yourself as a head coach that, all right, I got to stay patient with these guys? Or have you always been patient?
No, I've always been a pretty patient guy. My wife gets on me because sometimes she thinks I'm too patient, you know, because not a lot really phases me. And, I mean, no, she doesn't. But carrying over to football, it was really easy for me to stay patient with whether it be players or what we're doing. Just because as a former player, I've seen both sides. You know, I've been 1-16 and I've been, you know, 13-3, you know, what it was been one game away from the Super Bowl. So I understand there's a process that goes along with building the team, making sure you're getting the right guys together, making sure the staff is all on the same page. And you do have to trust that process. You know, if you trust your coach and trust what he's saying, and you're buying into the program and what you're trying to accomplish, you know, you just stay the course regardless of what goes on during the season. And usually at the end, the results don't always work out how you want per se. Because we probably gave away, you know, a left three or four games on the table, but we're still in the playoffs, which was the ultimate goal.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Just a layout of the next hour before we go into the sports exchange from 4 to 6 o'clock. I'm going to test this guy, Marcus Coleman, his knowledge on the state of South Dakota. Interesting, interesting fun facts. Let's see if you know it, Marcus.
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna test
Ofer in this one.
We'll see how he is on his knowledge with South Dakota, because the Sugar Skulls are taking on the Sioux Falls Storm, located in South Dakota. These guys are going to be traveling to South Dakota. So we're going to see if Marcus Coleman is familiar with the area that he's going to encounter here in the next few days. But we'll also get into the playoffs. So we'll do kind of a round robin. Have Coach Coleman provide his thoughts on each IFL or each team that's in the IFL playoffs. 16 total teams in the IFL playoffs, 2 first round bye. So we'll hear from Coach Coleman on all the IFL or the teams in the IFL playoffs. We'll also preview the very important game against the Sioux Falls Storm. But Coach, we were talking about the over the course of the season. It is year one, and for the Sugar Skulls to make the playoffs in the first year, it's quite the accomplishment. But you guys have always had this, like, as not only a goal, but something that was always in the vision, because you and your coaching staff come over from Iowa, championship pedigree coaches right there. Right. You also have some players that came over from Iowa and also other teams that have the championship pedigree as well. So was this just the right blend of guys for an expansion team?
Yeah, I think so, because you want to have a few vets, or at least, you know, some guys that have played a couple of years in the league, you know, at key positions, whether it be Jake and Matt at quarterback, you know, Keith on the D-line, Metz on the D-line, at, you know, at linebacker, Zach at linebacker, D-Magic, you know, in the defensive backfield. So you always want to have some key guys on your team that not only just have had success, but they understand how to play the game. You know, the indoor game is definitely different, especially, you know, for some of these rookies coming from college. You know, it's just a different, you know, it's a different kind of game. So being able to have guys like that, they can teach them, you know, what the game is, kind of the expectations. But at the end, you know, you're still, you know, it's no different than being outdoors. You're still trying to win. You're still trying to accomplish a goal of whether it be going to the playoffs or winning the championship. So I think we, you know, having those vets, you know, on our team, you know, helps a lot. It makes our job easier, especially during game time, because we don't have to do – we're still coaching, but there are times where, whether it be Zach or D, for example, on defense, they know what I'm thinking, and I don't even have to say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they just make the adjustment. And, you know, they'll come over with coach, I did this because I saw this. I'm like, cool, because I was thinking the same thing. You know, so, it really helps a lot, you know, on both sides, you know, during games and during practice. You get that leadership as well. So, it's huge. It's bigger than what people may think it is.
When you recruited these guys to come over from Iowa or even some of these other teams over to join the Tucson Sugar Skulls, was it easy for you? Because while they are familiar with you, and, you know, whenever I talk to the players about playing for you, they always praise you. They were like, it was kind of an easy decision because I wanted to play for Coach Coleman. Jake Medlock, when you brought him over, it was either, hey, I'm playing for my hometown team, the Jacksonville Sharks, or I'm playing for Coach Coleman. Was it easy to bring these guys over, in your personal opinion?
Some. I mean, but in the back of my mind, I knew that because we were an expansion team, yeah. So it's new.
It's a gamble,
yeah,
almost.
It is. It is. It's a gamble. And you know, just like Coach Guy would say, you know, it does take a lot of courage to be able to step out and not be the front runner. You know, you're going somewhere, you're starting brand new. You don't know what to expect. You know, it's easy to go somewhere where they're already winning, they've got things in place, and you can just kind of step in and it's plug and play. But when you're starting something brand new, you know, it does, you know, I would say take a special kind of person, you know, to step into that role and be able to be one of the leaders on the team or be one of the people that sets the groundwork and the foundation, you know, for the organization. So it was kind of half and half, you know, just depending on who the person was, you know, and obviously, you know, some guys are either thinking about not playing just because they're not playing in general, or, you know, you always have the factor because it's a new team. Yeah. So, you know, but it all worked out. You know, I'm happy that it worked out the way it did, though.
Was that also the case for you, you know, being that the head coach, getting offered the job? Did you ever sit back and say, well, have you ever been to Tucson, Arizona before?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been here plenty of times.
The Copper Bowl, right?
Yeah, I've been here in the Copper Bowl. Copper Bowl. I used to come through here and play golf all the time, yeah. So I've been here, yeah. Once I got offered the job, I never had any second thoughts about anything. I mean, I was, you know, as soon as Coach Guy offered me, I was full board, you know, from day one. There was no hesitation, nothing to think about. You know, and I'd already told him, you know, even when we were kind of doing, I guess you can call it negotiations or whatever, I was like, you don't have to worry about me going anywhere. Like, I'm in. You know, we just get this part done and then it's a wrap. So, I was ready to accept the challenge and have the chance to, one, you build something from ground up. Two, you kind of put your stamp on it. And three, you know, see what it's like. You know, because I've never been a head coach. So, you know, you get into this business because you do want to be a head coach. I mean, there are some guys that they end up being better coordinators than they do head coaches, but you at least, you know, from a coach's perspective, just depending on the person or most of the coaches, if not all that I know, you get into this business because you want to be a head coach. You know, you want to work your way up to whatever level it is that, you know, that you're trying to achieve. So I was all in. You know, there was no second thoughts for me.
Was it also the same way with the assistant coaches too?
Yeah, I mean, they
because they all came from Iowa as well, right?
Right, yeah, they were just, yeah, with the exception of David, and David came from Florida, you know, he coaches high school ball back in Florida, but everybody else was all in too. We were like, shoot, I mean, this is kind of our opportunity to, let's see, you know, what ingredients, you know, what we can put together and, you know, what the dish comes out to be, you know, for ourselves. You know, what kind of casserole can we make, you know?
And casserole.
Yeah, and see how it tastes, you know? Yeah.
Oh, casseroles. See, in the beautiful city of Tucson, we call our version of casserole is enchiladas.
Okay, yeah.
Well, enchiladas.
Well, yeah, that's how it is back home in San Antonio, too. Yeah. Yeah.
But over the course of the year, you know, you learn about a lot of things. What have you learned about the city of Tucson or maybe about having a football team, a professional football team here? What is something that really caught you by surprise or something that you noticed?
Well, I already was familiar with the city and how they've always, you know, been good about supporting, you know, the local teams, whether it be U of A or the baseball team that was here. And, you know, you see it, you see it all across the city. What I was surprised by, which I'm happy that I discovered, was this is a food town. So that was right up my alley.
I know Tucson is mainly known for Mexican food, but
there's a whole bunch of, yeah, there's a lot.
Nice little potpourri.
Yeah, there's a nice little mix of different, all kind, you know, from all kind of ethnicities and everything. Just, I mean, my wife and I went and had Italian yesterday at Roche's, R-O-C-C-I, on Broadway.
Oh, I've never been.
Awesome. Like, little small place. It really tasted like true Italian. Like, it was great. Yeah, you need to go there. So, I was actually surprised by that. But the city has done everything that I expected in regards to supporting us and getting behind us. They've done everything in regards to showing up, wanting to be involved, you know, with all the sponsors, all the businesses that we do, you know, have relationships with. You know, they've been excellent at taking care of us and helping out, you know, helping out the organization, helping out the players, you know, with meals, whether we're having meet and greets, things like that. So it's been a lot of fun.
And with you being in Tucson, since you're the new attraction, the first game, the home opener against Bismarck, mm-hmm. people showed up, drew a little under 5,200, and people were more just curious about, you know, what's going on.
Right.
Who are the Tucson Sugar Skulls? We need to come out and check them out. Then in the home finale, and I talked to Ollie Farhang about this yesterday,
mm-hmm.
it was totally different. The crowd was similar to the home opener,
right.
But it was totally different because you see people wearing number 19 Tucson Sugar Skulls jerseys.
Right,
you
right.
see people wearing yellow and red and black Tucson Sugar Skulls t-shirts, hats. Like, I've never seen more Sugar Skulls merchandise in a crowd mm-hmm. than that regular season finale.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd was more invested.
Yeah.
Could you see the trend as the season progressed that, hey, the crowd, they're starting to get more involved with us?
Yeah, you can definitely see that. And then especially when you start seeing the same faces. You know, you start seeing the usual suspects every weekend, and, you know, there's even people that I would see after the game or before the game, and, you know, I can point them out in the crowd, and, you know, and even the ones that I don't get a chance to actually talk to, but I still see the faces, you know, the same
yeah.
people, same people. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm like, good, yeah, just make sure, you know, everybody keeps coming out. So, and you see the progression every week, you know, every time we had a home game. So it was good, you know, to see, you know, a lot, you know, some fans with player jerseys on, you know, other fans with different types of merchandise that they're selling and things like that, because they are getting invested now. And, you know, the more that you win, obviously, you know, usually the more people come, you know, that's just kind of how it works, you know, as it should. So, you can see the city, you know, kind of embracing us now and taking us in and they're getting behind us and hopefully, you know, we continue to win, you know, continue to keep, you know, keep people coming out and supporting us and we're going to stay here as long as we can.
That game against Quad City, the regular season finale, you guys were up by 3 touchdowns. You got pretty close there at the end.
Yeah.
I know you were you feeling pretty uncomfortable?
Nah, I just wanted us to close out the game. I was more frustrated at that than anything else. I mean, because, you give yourself a 3-score lead, you know, and then you give them an opportunity on – we had 2 penalties on 1 drive. They got them down to the 2. Then they scored the end. I thought offensively, I thought they did a good job of trying to manage the clock, you know, letting it run down, you know, and towards the end, you know, excuse me, at the end, you know, when we needed the onside kicks, we got those, offense came out and they did their job. You know, we just need to close out games, you know, defensively. And, you know, part of that was on me. I was, just because of the time that was left, the calls that I was making, the coverage was a little bit more soft than it probably should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably should have stayed dialed in maybe for another series or so. But we get out of there. That's all that matters. You know, we get out of there with a win and on to the playoffs.
For selfish reasons, thank you for coming out on top. Because because at the Arizona Daily Star, our deadlines are earlier because the press is now in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So I already filed my story in. And all my editors had to do was just update the score at the end of the game.
Gotcha.
So I was already turned in my story that saying the Tucson Sugar Skulls, they made history. Good. They punched tickets in the IFL playoffs. And as Quad City started to come back, I'm like, God, I really jinxed them. I really jinxed them, and I feel so bad. But at the same time, I'm like, what happens if the Sugar Skulls lose? Then I gotta redo everything. Everything is just a complete debacle, a complete mess. So thank you for closing out the game.
You did the right thing. It's just the power of positive thinking. You did the right thing.
Well, because you guys were up by 3 touchdowns, so I'm like, okay, I'm kind of in the safe zone here.
Right.
Because you had a nice double-digit lead. Mm-hmm. They came back, they tied it up, and then you guys went back up by 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, man, they're up by 3 touchdowns. I should be good to go.
Yeah, especially towards
file my story.
Yeah, with the time that was left. I mean, yeah, you were good.
On to playoffs now.
Yeah.
On to playoffs. The Sugar Skulls are in the IFL playoffs, the expansion team. The only expansion team and newcomer to be in the IFL playoffs this season. Quite the accomplishment for Marcus Coleman and the Tucson Sugar Skulls. Coming up next on the Sugar Skulls Coach Show, I'm going to test out this guy, Marcus Coleman, on his knowledge of the beautiful state of South Dakota. Stay tuned. More of the Sugar Skulls Coaches Show right here on ESPN Tucson 1490, 104.9 FM.
Breaking down the inaugural season for Tucson's first professional football team.
The Tucson Sugar Skulls.
It's the Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Right here on ESPN Tucson 1490.
And 104.9 FM.
ESPN Tucson presents the Culinary Experience, noon to 5 on Saturday, June 29th at Casino del Sol Resort to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Tucson. Sample food, beer, wine, and spirits. Enjoy cooking demos, beer and wine classes, and more. These cooking classes include Casino del Sol and barbecue ribs. Preparing barbecue ribs at 12:30, Alan Zeman. We'll have a class from Fuego Classic at 1:30, Dante's Fire. We'll have a class at 2:30, and that includes ice cream and sorbet. There's so many good things coming out of this culinary experience. If you want tickets to this culinary experience, they're free tickets. If you want them, we're going to be giving some out at 4:40. So stay tuned for your chance to win. Welcome back to the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing, here with Marcus Coleman. Coach, you guys are getting ready for playoffs. But since I just did a line about all this great food, you have a specialty dish that you make?
That I make?
You good in the kitchen?
Yeah, usually I would say my specialty dish is turkey meatloaf with mushrooms, feta cheese, scallions. That's probably
turkey meatloaf.
Yes, sir.
How did you get this recipe?
How did I get that recipe? I think I was finagling with it in the kitchen while I was playing, because you know, trying to eat healthy. So you know, even now I don't eat a lot of red meat, and just kind of, you know, started. You know, I've seen turkey meatloaf recipes, but I just kind of made it my own by adding feta cheese, you know, putting scallions in it, mushrooms, you know, little bread, chicken broth, that kind of stuff. Just kind of playing with it. That's kind of what I came up with. You know, that's the favorite thing that my wife likes for me to make, is turkey meatloaf. So I think it's all right if she likes it.
Hey, after the season's over with, I'm going over to your house. We're having some turkey meatloaf.
Yeah.
Coach, I need you to put your headphones on because I need you to listen to this guy. Because our faithful phone caller, Fat Mike, he joins us on the Desert Diamond Casino Sports Line at 719-1490. What's going on, Fat Mike?
Hey, dude, I was just passing I-10 right now, and I saw the dopest news. You know Wu-Tang is coming here November 2nd to the
ABBA? Yes, I do.
Wu-Tang Clan is coming to Tucson.
Wu-Tang is coming.
Wu-Tang is coming to Tucson. I'm geeked. For sure. So my bad. I'm scatterbrained about that. But coach, it looks like a prediction. We got a bunch of egg on our face, coach. We said it was a wrap, and we're wrong. Father Attrition got the best of the Golden State Warriors. What do you think about that?
Man, I know. To tell you the truth, just because of Golden State's team and their experience, you would think they would have, you know, at least pushed it to Game 7, but Toronto was on a mission, and they really couldn't do anything with Kawhi. And obviously, being that Toronto's been a good defensive team, you know, all year, not just in the playoffs. They really stepped their level of defense up in the playoffs. They go to say take a lot of bad shots. And I'm not one of those people where if they had KD or if they had such and such, you know, they would have won. I'm not that kind of dude. You know, they just.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. They just got outplayed because you got to think about it like this, especially with a team like Golden State. They're so deep, you know, with their team in regards to depth and the shooters they have and, you know, some of the players that they have. You know, some of those guys, other guys, that's when your opportunity to step up. And they just didn't. And Toronto, they wanted it more. You saw that when they were playing, you know, as the games were getting tight, you know, Toronto continued to press and continued to press. And Golden State come down, they would either get turnovers, miss shots that they probably normally hit. And, you know, you got to take your hats off to Toronto.
And then that Chris Webber play at the end, man, just killed it. It was a different kind of dagger to the coffin to freaking call a timeout when you ain't got one and then pick up a technical.
Yeah.
But I thought, honestly, it would have gone 7 just because the league needed it, because the lack of LeBron, and just to get it, not just for the money, but for the rating period. Ain't nothing better than the words game 7. So optimistically, sports-wise, because now we're stuck watching professional baseball side, so Sugar Skull football. Excuse me. Thank God we got you, because then we'd be stuck with baseball. For me, the happiest thing, like taking a cynical, you know, my own Sean Gruden shot at a sports team, is the real losers are the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
As a Suns fan, it makes me happy. Because if Kawhi, that was just the difference in Toronto, yes, and LeBron leaving to the West, that's the hump they never got over, and then Kawhi getting there. But aside from that, all they did was plug in the claw, and they won the championship. So you're telling me the San Antonio Spurs, with the roster that they have, and the Hall of Fame coach that is Blake Popovich, wouldn't have been in the finals? And mind you, a couple years ago before Kawhi Leonard got freaking Jalen Rose, they were going to win that game. They were going to win that game against the Warriors.
Zaza
Pachulia. Yeah.
Yeah, so with Zaza Pachulia, he Jalen Rose did. So maybe he is the Warrior Slayer, but for what Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker did and Greg Popovich, driving Kawhi Leonard out makes me happy as a Suns fan, because they won 5 championships in, 16 years? Do you think about it? They would have won another championship. So you know what? You got to see the silver lining and everything. So unfortunately, it's the silver and black lining got their egg all over their face, man. So bear down. Hey, coach, get over this first round. I'm not saying to look over South Dakota, but you need to get those Rattlers. That 50-49, you were almost there, coach. So, hey, mucha suerte. And honestly, the enchilada, green enchilada casserole is bomb. So wherever you find it, go get it, dog. Peace out, dog.
I appreciate that.
See, I appreciate Fat Mike, because anytime he calls in, I know I'm going to get a few minutes just to kind of take a break,
yeah,
because he provides the goods every time he
does,
on.
Man. And he's on point too when he's talking. So I mean, he's dishing out good news, yeah.
Except for the Golden State Warriors would have won the championship if they had Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson being completely healthy.
Man, I don't know. After
I'm not gonna sit here and be like the NCAA with Reggie Bush's Heisman and just not even acknowledge it. I'm going to acknowledge the Toronto Raptors as the champions. You have to. They deserve it.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard and what he did this postseason was unbelievable, but still.
No, I mean, it's easy. Hindsight is 20/20. I mean, and yes, having a healthy Klay Thompson and having a healthy Kevin Durant, it definitely changes your game. I mean, no doubt. But that's why you got to have depth. And you know, usually we've seen Golden State have depth, and the guys that do come off of the bench and, you know, that second rotation or whatever it is, when they're putting guys in, they usually play well. They just didn't, you know, they didn't really provide, you know, the spark, or they didn't play as well as they have before. But you got to credit Toronto. You got to give all the credit to Toronto. They played defense. Kawhi took over the entire playoffs, you know, from the time that they got in all the way to the end. And, you know, he's right. I mean, yes, And I understand just from a player aspect what Kawhi was doing. You know, if you got to listen to your body. If your body's saying I'm not right, then it's just not right. You know, but as a coach, and you know, as a fan, you got to understand that as well. You know, would you rather me go out and now my career is done, especially as young as he is, because I'm trying to press for one extra championship?
Or Kitty.
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to hold on so I can give you more down the line? You know, and that's hard for an athlete to manage because you always want to play. You know, yeah. You always want to play. Don't think that Kawhi wasn't struggling or didn't have a bad taste in his mouth sitting on the bench watching his teammates play, knowing that he could have helped if he was healthy. So, that line, that's a fine line. It really is. But you got to look at it from all sides, you know, when you're talking about that.
And now Kawhi Leonard gets the last laugh.
Yeah. So does he stay?
If I were him, I'd either stay. Or I'm going to the Clippers. I'm a Lakers fan.
Hell no.
I would love to see him. I would love to see Kawhi Leonard on the Lakers, but I don't think Kawhi Leonard wants to do that. I think he wants to be his own guy. He wants to be one of the superstars, and it's either Toronto or the Clippers, because the Clippers can give him money, and he doesn't have to be third fiddle to LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Right, exactly.
And he's back in L.A., too.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You give him all that money, who are they going to put around him?
They have some young talent, I think.
You just coming off of a championship with the squad that you were with, and you want to go rebuild somewhere else?
Here's the thing, though. The Clippers made the playoffs last year in the Western Conference, and their best player was Lou Williams. Imagine Kawhi Leonard on that team.
No, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, why not stay? Because Toronto, they'll figure out a way to pay him. Why not stay in Toronto and just keep the train rolling?
But Philly.
I mean, because he wants to be, because he truly does. This is kind of how this whole thing started after the injury. And I know, you know, like the backstory with the uncle and, you know, San Antonio or the NBA not treating Kawhi as one of the superstars, you know, that kind of whole deal. Well, now you're a superstar in Toronto. The entire country loves you. Why leave? You know, and you can still get paid. And you can see you still continue, especially in the East, because the East is still weak. I don't care what anybody else says. Especially now after the Anthony Davis trade, the East is really weak now. So you can still have, you know, this is where you make your run. This is your window.
And they're giving him, Toronto, they're offering him a penthouse suite for free.
Hey, man.
You get free housing, and restaurants are giving him free food.
Hey, this is the window. Take advantage of the window. I'm telling you, because that window closes real quick. Ask LeBron. Ask D-Wade. You know, I mean, that window closes really, really fast, like it does, and that's in all professional sports. Like, that window is only about, you know, depending on who you have, could be from 2 years long to you can maybe stretch it out to four, but that window's short. You better take advantage of it. Yeah.
Coach, real quick, since the Tucson Sugar Skulls are playing against the Sioux Falls Storm, I had a couple questions for you. You thought you could even talk about Kawhi Leonard and get out of this, huh?
I did.
So, since you guys are traveling to South Dakota this Sunday, what is the most famous landmark in South Dakota?
Mount Rushmore, and that's the only thing I'm going to get right.
Beautiful.
That's the only thing I'm going to get right.
You got question one right. What is the official state sport for South Dakota?
What?
The official state sport. I didn't know states have official sports, but apparently South Dakota does.
The official state sport for South Dakota. I don't know, barrel racing. I don't know.
Rodeo.
Yeah, barrel racing. Rodeo.
Rodeo.
Okay.
Can you name the other two states that's the official sport?
Shoot, no.
You should know this, Marcus.
Can't be Texas.
It is Texas.
What?
According to the internet.
Lies.
But of course the internet lies.
Football
sometimes.
Is the official state sport. I'm telling you that now.
And the other state is Wyoming.
Yeah, I can see that.
Those are the only two questions I have for you.
Okay, not too bad. Okay.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Okay, yeah. That's not bad.
Coming up next on the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, we'll talk about the IFL playoff bracket. Stay tuned. More of the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show right here on ESPN Tucson 1490, 104.9 FM.
Taking a look inside the Tucson Sugar Skulls indoor football team. It's the Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Right here on ESPN Tucson 1490
and 104.9.
Welcome back to the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing, featuring head coach Marcus Coleman. If you're just now tuning in, you want to listen to the whole episode, go to ESPNTucson.com for the Sugar Skulls Coaches Show podcast. Here with Marcus Coleman, we're talking about the Indoor Football League playoffs. The Tucson Sugar Skulls, they punched their ticket after beating the Quad City Steamwheelers 55-50 this past weekend. Tucson, now the sixth seed. They'll take on the Sioux Falls Storm this Sunday. Winner, well, it depends. It's weird. The IFL playoffs, it's all about whoever has the higher seed. So if Tucson wins, they will advance to play the Arizona Rattlers, top-seeded Arizona Rattlers. If Sioux Falls wins, they will play the number two seed in the Iowa Barnstormers. So it's more of an NFL playoff format as opposed to, okay, NCAA tournament style, this winner, this team plays this team. But coach, you know, this bracket is pretty interesting because, you know, at the top you have Nebraska taking on Green Bay, and then you also have Tucson taking on Sioux Falls. What do you think about that Nebraska Green Bay matchup between those two teams, even though you haven't faced Green Bay this year, but you have faced Nebraska, and what have you seen out of Green Bay as well?
Well, no, both Corey and Pig have done great jobs with both of those teams. Nebraska, I think they were 9-5 this year. And you take Pig in Nebraska, you know, his first, you know, full year of being a head coach, you know, getting, you know, giving them an opportunity to get in the playoffs and make a run. You know, they both done a good job of recruiting, you know, getting the kind of guys that they want in. You know, and for Corey at Green Bay, you know, he's done a really good job of, you know, changing the culture in Green Bay, getting them back on the winning track, because I don't think they've been, you know, to the playoffs since, I want to say, 2012 or something like that. So it's been a minute. But, you know, they've both done really good jobs. And they play tough. You know, they play similar style defenses, you know, in that regard. And offensively as well. You know, they like to run the ball a lot, you know, whether it be with the quarterback or with the running back. Both have a lot of weapons. I would say Nebraska, from a wide receiver perspective, they've got one of the top, you know, wide receiver crews in the league, like they really do, between Eric and Tatum. They really have, you know, that's really a good group. So it's going to be a good matchup. You know, it's going to be a close game. Like I said, because on defense they play, you know, kind of bend, don't break style. You know, they both tackle well, physical up front. So, you know, that's going to be a good matchup.
And Tommy Armstrong is still the quarterback for Nebraska.
Yep.
So good wide receiver core.
Tommy Armstrong.
And you also have Tommy Armstrong, former Nebraska quarterback, Cornhusker.
Yep. You got Baby Lynch. Marshawn Lynch's little brother is the running back from Nebraska, so yeah, it's gonna be good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. But his name is hyphenated. It's like Sap Lynch, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was another impressive player.
Yeah, but he's played. I need to go back just to see who all of the rookies were. But I mean, he's, you know, I'm gonna put him up there. You know, rookie of the year. You know, at the end of the year, though, he's had a really good season.
Do you think about what could happen if you guys win? Do you, because you look at the bracket here, of course, Iowa, Arizona, they have the first round byes, but you can face either, well, what I thought was you could face the Arizona Rattlers in the championship, which would be awesome. Mm-hmm. At Gila River Arena, having the IFL championship between the two Arizona teams
right. In
Arizona, I thought would have been awesome. But you also could now face your former team, the team you were the defensive coordinator for, the Iowa Barnstormers. Do you think about things like that?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, especially once the playoffs were set and everybody, we knew where all the teams were going, it's either, okay, well, we play Sioux Falls, play Arizona, and we can end up in Iowa. Or we can end up in, you know, in one of these other, you know, whether it be Green Bay or Nebraska, I'll tell you the truth. So you don't really think about it. You know, now you just focus on Sioux Falls. You know, you can't really think too far down the road because you can't get to these other brackets until you take care of business, you know, what's in front of you. So there's not a whole lot of thought into it. And the bracket's so small, you don't really need to think about it that much. You know where you're going, you know, at that point. So, you know, if that happens, you know, when I get to that bridge, you know, I'll run across it. You know, tell you the truth, you know, I just won't cross it. I'll sprint across it, trust me, because I'll be ready to get there. But, you know, before, you know, until then, you know, you got to handle business the first couple of weeks first.
So you have Sioux Falls this Sunday. We'll preview more of that matchup to close out the show. But you always do your pregame run, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always go out for a jog. And some of the interns, shout out to Chris and Ahmad, who help out Jay Gonzalez with the media relations. Chris and Ahmad, they said they saw you running outside.
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe it because it was right before the game, and it was a bazillion degrees outside. have you grown accustomed to the Tucson heat?
Yeah, I mean it's just like being in Lubbock, because it's the same kind of heat. You know, it's dry heat. It gets up to over 100 degrees there, and if we're talking about heat, back home, the only thing that's different between here and Texas is humidity, depending on what part of the state you live in. So, but I just like running outside and clearing my mind. I mean, even last couple of years when I was in Iowa, and we go to Cedar Rapids or we go to Nebraska and it's snowing and it's single digits, I still go run. That's just my thing. It gives me a chance to kind of get away from all the noise that I've had to deal with all week, whether it be media or all the administrative stuff, and get away from the X's and O's and just kind of take in nature, clear your head, throw in some good music and, just take a little jog, maybe. And even depending on where we go, I'll jog, and if there's a park around, I'm going to hang out at the park, sit around, just kind of, just take in life a little bit.
The nature of Tucson in summertime. So what Coach Coleman is talking about is the heat, the morning doves that are turning into rotisserie chickens,
yep,
and the beautiful, amazing sound of the cicadas.
Yeah.
Going off. That's how you know it's summer in Tucson, is when you hear the cicadas.
Yeah. That's what I've been told. Yeah. But the scenery here is good, because I usually just run around TCC, or I may even hit downtown a little bit, but you can still see the mountains and everything.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah. So you still kind of get, get that feeling. So, and the mountains are always good. Whatever vantage point you have are always nice to see.
Well, you'll be in South Dakota. I'm sure South Dakota in June is pretty nice.
It actually is, and I already have my little trail mapped out, because we've been there so many times. So, I run away from the arena, and there's a little neighborhood that I usually cut through, and I slide through that little downtown, and there's like a river that goes through there. So I roll and kind of check that out, and then there's a park, and I may hit the park a little bit. So, but it is nice there. It's green. There is good. So it shouldn't be that hot, so it'd be nice.
Let's talk some ball. Let's talk some football. You got a very important game this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, baby. Stay tuned. More of the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show right here on ESPN Tucson 1490, 104.9 FM.
Taking a peek inside the Tucson Sugar Skulls indoor football team.
It's the Coaches Show.
Presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Right here on ESPN Tucson 1490.
And 104.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing, here with the man of the hour, Marcus Coleman. The Tucson Sugar Skulls getting ready to take on the Sioux Falls Storm in the IFL playoffs. Coach, what will it take for the Sugar Skulls to get up there and come back to the Old Pueblo with the win?
One, you got to be fundamentally sound. Just from facing this team in the past, they don't do a whole lot, but what they do, they usually do better than everybody else. And they take advantage of any mistakes that their opposing team makes. So, whatever we're playing schematically, offensively or defensively, we have to make sure we're in the right position, we're running the right routes, we're blocking, and that our fundamentals are good. You have to play a full game with these guys. You can't get up and take your foot off the gas. You have to continue to press and play. And then, second of all, we got to be physical. whether it's blocking, whether we're tackling, whether we're running down on kickoff, blocking on return, we got to be physical with this ball club and show them that we're here to play. Mm-hmm. That's really what it's going to take. There's not a whole lot of X's and O's that's going to go into this game. There'll be some wrinkles like there always are, but us knowing them, as a coaching staff and knowing what they do and seeing what they've done in the past, it's a lot of what we've seen before. So we understand how to beat them, and we just got to make sure we get our guys right and that they buy into what we're doing.
D-Magic compared them to the Arizona Rattlers. It's you got to play the game without any mistakes. Mm-hmm. And if you do make mistakes, it's going to cost us. So you got to bring your A game.
Right.
This team, they've been consistently at the top of the IFL. Mm-hmm. All season long. But a couple weeks ago, you take the Arizona Rattlers down to the wire, literally down to the last play, and you lose in overtime. You win this game against the Quad City Steamwheelers when you lost to them earlier in the season. You mentioned the mental hurdle,
mm-hmm.
that the guys are starting to learn how to close out games. And as you know, it doesn't have to be the team with the better record always wins.
Right.
Normally, it's the team with the hot hand. You guys won four out of the last six. Right now, you guys have the hot hand.
Yeah, it's not always about that. You're right. And I would agree and say that I think, you know, our guys are understanding, you know, how to win and how to close out games, because you do have to – that is something you have to learn. You know, particularly if you come from whether it be another team in this league or a program where they're in college where you haven't won a lot, so you don't really know how to push through that mental hurdle to close out games, and you have to do that as a team. And I think we're starting to get an understanding of how to do that and what that takes. And, you know, like you said, this game, you know, we close it out. You know, last week, even though we didn't win the game, it was on the last play of the game. But when Arizona did get back in the game, you know, we were able to go toe-for-toe with them and still stay in the game, you know, and have an opportunity to win. So, and that is what it's going to take against, you know, a team like Sioux Falls. You definitely have to, you know, if you get that chance to close out the game, you have to close out the game. But before then, you have to play as close as, you know, a perfect game as you can. Be fundamentally sound, be physical, making sure that they win the right spots. And you know, usually, you know, when that happens, you win more times than not.
Update on the uniforms?
Man, I don't know what we're wearing this week. Tell you the truth, let's see, Sioux Falls.
Whatever, or do you go like, well, we're gonna go with the one where we won the most games?
Oh no! The owners Kevin picks the uniforms.
Okay,
they pick the uniforms. So I don't know, you know. So we, based off of Sioux Falls, you know, they like to wear white helmets at home, you know. But in the playoffs, they usually change. Like they'll bust out the all red, you know, or they'll bust out the red helmet with all blue. So we'll see, you know, what they're wearing and kind of go from there. So
it's gonna be a good time.
And
you know,
fun, yeah.
And you know what? You have the city of Tucson behind you, because everybody's gonna be tuning in to YouTube.
No, we appreciate it. Yeah, and we're looking forward to putting on a show for them. You know, and be excited. You know, have big parties. You know, over the weekend. You know, have some house parties, because you know we'll be, you know, just like Fat Mike said. You know, instead of, you know, I like baseball, don't get me wrong, but I think our game would be a little bit more exciting than baseball, watching a baseball game. So you get a chance to, you know, support us and check us out. And hopefully, even though you may not be there rooting for us, you know, we know you're back home supporting us, and we appreciate that.
The Tucson Sugar Skulls taking on the Sioux Falls Storm, first round of the IFL playoffs. You can watch the game on the Indoor Football League YouTube feed. Just go to YouTube, search Tucson Sugar Skulls Sioux Falls Storm, and it's going to be right there. Kickoff set for 1 p.m. on Sunday. Coach, good luck.
I appreciate it.
Coming up next, a whole new episode of the Sports Exchange right here on ESPN Tucson.